Hi, this is Doug Laura. Today I'd like to cover the role of an enterprise administrator for a direct enrollment. A direct enrollment is simply one that has a direct relationship with Microsoft for the finances. Their purchase orders and invoices are directly to and from Microsoft. Most enterprise Azure enrollments are direct. So I am logged in here as an enterprise administrator. I just want to orient a little bit on this screen, because if this is your first time, you want to know some things about the user interface. First of all, anything that has a little blue pen here is editable, and if you click on it, it will allow you to see additional information. In the case of what I'm hovering over right now, this is the authentication level. The options here are Microsoft account only, also known as a Live ID, work or school account only, which is an Azure Active Directory authentication. Cross-tenant for work or school, which means you're going to allow somebody to be in your enrollment that authenticates to their own Azure Active Directory or an offsite or different one. And mixed account, which allows the top two types, Microsoft accounts and work or school accounts, within your own Azure Active Directory domain. But as I was saying, these fields are editable that have the little pen next to them. Another couple of fields that you should be aware of here on the enrollment detail panel are the DA view charges and AO view charges. This is department administrator view charges and account owner view charges. By default, these are disabled. Here they've been enabled. Enable is what most customers will set these to, and that allows the account owner and the department owner to see their own costs. The default view of disabled will not allow them to see cost, but rather only see usage data. Also, hopefully you have support coverage. Enterprise Azure support is provided through either Premier support, if you have that, and it will not be reflected here if you have Premier, or through a purchased Azure specific support plan. The base model of that is called Standard. It's $100 per month. I'm sorry, $300 per month, and the upgraded from that is called Professional Direct. Our onboarding guide highlights these options and the SKUs that you would need to order through your partner in order to put support in place. That's technical support that would be available to everyone in any role on a subscription, owner of a subscription, co-administrator, or if you're using role-based access, those sorts of roles. All right, a few other things to orient here. One of the things that's fairly new I'd like to highlight is these little quote boxes up here. And if you select those, a feedback form will come out. And this is what we encourage you to use to provide feedback related to the user interface and things that you'd like to see in terms of features and that sort of thing. Second, if you see the headshot icon up here, it will allow you to see the ID that you're logged in with and sign out. However, I will tell you that browsers, in particular in Internet Explorer, does tend to hold on to cached credentials, and I find that I often have to shut down the browser, start a new browser using in-private browsing, or even clear the cache to get rid of that. We have here on the screen a list of the enterprise administrators, and we have the ability to add others. If you're using a work or school account, the term here really should say user principal name, although email address is often referred to as the same thing. But a work or school account user principal name may not have a valid email address. It may be something like an employee number, 12345 at customer.com. And if that's the case and that's not a valid email address, you can enter a notification contact here, which would be a valid email address. And emails that would go to this ID will go to that one as well. You can set the frequency of notifications. The default is weekly. And by default, in a direct enrollment, you're going to get a weekly email that tells you where you're at on your monetary commitment balance. You can also add a notification contact. That is somebody who's going to be able to receive that same information that you would as an enterprise administrator, but really have no role in the enterprise portal other than getting that information. All right, let's step on across here at the top. We're looking at the enrollment view. Let's go to the department view. The default view here is going to be a boxed view. You can toggle here just by clicking between a boxed view and a list view. The list view does provide a little bit more information and let you look at all of your departments. Cost centers are options here. You don't have to enter those. Spending quotas are options. And this column you may or may not see. An MSP is a type of partner enrollment. It stands for a managed service provider. And this enrollment happened to be enabled previously as a managed service provider. So this is here because you can define departments as either MSP or not. Also, it's only showing our active departments. If I deselect this box here, it will show me ones that have been deleted in the past. We do keep them around for historic reasons, for reporting, and for past billing information. Adding a department or adding a department administrator is done with similar forms that we saw popping out from the right. A department name must be at least 3 characters, and as I mentioned, cost center and spending quotas are optional. If you do set a spending quota, we will give you notification when you reach 50, 75, 90, and 100% of that quota. There's no action taken to shut down services when you exceed that quota. It's really informational to help you manage a budget. And within a department, you can have any number of account owners. So we'll take a look at that when we see some reports in a bit. You can add a department administrator here. So this has all of the departments that we've defined, and you can specify an email address here. Now, if you're an enterprise administrator, you are already a department administrator for all departments, so you can't be added in this role as well. So this is typically a role assigned to somebody who would be sort of over a department and want to see the costs of all the users within his department. That's department. This is, again, just an administrative oversight type of position. Now, account owners are those that are actually going to be able to create subscriptions and to those subscriptions add services. Each one has to have a unique email address. And once you have accounts, there's a number of things that you can do. Well, first, if I add a new account, I do have the option to set a department. I also have the option to put an account name, which is an editable and changeable field, ways to identify that. And I've seen customers use this in many ways, maybe show a business unit or a department name, etc. So that's adding accounts. If I hover over an account, I have a number of things that I can do related to an edit for that account. This pen here is the first option. And here is where I can edit that account name if I've assigned it at some point. I can also assign a department after the fact. I can also edit or change a cost center that I might have defined previously. And this one, I want to highlight the MSDN button. If I select this button, what that says is this account owner is now eligible for a second enterprise subscription offer type. That would be the EA MSDN dev test offer type. Excuse me. That offer type means that the services within that subscription will run at the very lowest MSDN rates. The only requirement of this is that the users of this subscription, not necessarily the creator, but the users of this subscription are MSDN individual subscription licensed individuals, and that the workload that happens within this environment is truly a dev test, not production environment. This subscription type, EA MSDN dev test, will allow you to do proof of concepts to scale, for example, at a much lower cost than you would in production. Like if you're building a large SQL database, large memory, large core machine, and seeing if it can handle the load that you anticipate in production. This is one of those great environments where you could do that in an enterprise subscription at much lower rates than production rates. There's also images available to you as an MSDN subscriber, things like Windows Client that are only available to an MSDN environment. All right, that's enough on that. Now, back over this. The second icon here is an X, and that is for deleting an account. You can only delete an account that no longer has active subscriptions. Most of these accounts will have active subscriptions, and even if I selected the delete box, they would not be able to be removed. Secondly, if you do delete an account, it goes into an inactive status. See the status here of these. Pending means accounts that have been added and not have not yet logged in. Active are ones that have logged in. And I'm only showing active and pending. If I click this box up here at the top, I will see some of those others. You will see some here listed as inactive. We keep those around in the enterprise portal for historic billing purposes. So they may have had billing, you know, in past months, and you're going to want to see the account name associated with it, etc. All right. The last two items are fairly new to the enterprise portal, and that is an option to change account owner. That would move all subscriptions from this account owner to a destination account owner. Let me click on it. It's going to generate here a list of acceptable targets. There's actually multiple pages of them here. You will see those targets that are valid, highlighted, or bolded, and you could move the subscriptions from the source to one of these bolded destinations. When you use this tool, it moves all subscriptions from source account to destination account. Now, if you want to divide subscriptions up among destinations, you use the transfer subscription item here. And what it's going to do is generate a subscription list for this account. And you can move one subscription to account owner A, one subscription to account owner B, or maybe you just want to move one subscription from somebody to another person. Say somebody leaves a department and the subscription needs to continue on, but needs to be passed to a different account owner. Again, it will give a list. You'll select the subscriptions from that list, and then you'll have a second menu where you have the targets or destination accounts. I'm going to stop this just in order of time it here to generate that list. Finally, we go to the subscription tab. In the subscription tab, you're going to be able to see first your subscriptions only if you're both an enterprise administrator and account owner. In my case, I am both an enterprise administrator and account owner, so by default here, when this subscription list generates, I will see only my subscriptions. In order to look at all the other subscriptions, I want to change my view to view manage subscriptions and see all departments and all accounts. And then I can filter from here if I want to. You also noticed on the previous screen that I was, again, filtering for active versus inactive. So you can cancel subscriptions and they would be inactive. They will not show in the default view here. All right, that is really running through the management menus. I'm going to take a quick look at reports. We actually cover reports in more detail in another topic, so I won't go into the level of detail here that we do in that video. I'll refer you to that at Channel 9 if you want to take a look at some detail on these reports. But in the reporting tab, you're going to be able to have a very quick view of your costs and spend and your monetary commitment balance. Here what we see is an agreement that started with a $12,000 commitment, spending against it. The spending is highlighted in various colors to represent spending against commitment, overage in excess of commitment. Charges billed separately, and there are just a few of them. In fact, since I have some here, I'm just going to highlight those are normally Oracle licenses, Java runtime, or Linux support. And those were historically not marketplace services. I suspect they'll move into the marketplace at some point. And then we have marketplace services in purple. Those are highlighted down below. Now, this is across all accounts and subscriptions, the default view here. But we can look, for example, at that yellow category here, charges billed separately. And actually, we can see that we have here a Visual Studio Enterprise subscription. So Visual Studio is a separately charged item as well, invoiced separately. Again, like I said, most third-party services are billed as billed in the Azure Marketplace. You also have the ability to look at download usage reports. These are going to show historic usage. The default is going to be a monthly view here. Just to highlight the columns, balance and charge is going to show you your monetary commitment balance and spend against it. Usage detail is going to give you the detail all the way down to individual components like a single virtual machines and storage accounts. Marketplace charges, you'll only have a download here if the service used in the marketplace was a metered service. Thus, you have usage in the month that impacts the amount of spend. For services that are monthly by flat fees per month, you will not see a download usage here, but you still will get those marketplace charges for monthly types of services. And then finally, there's a historic price sheet that's associated with the download. It lists the services for sure that you used during that period and the prices of the services during that period, because prices can change over time. Historically, they've gone down over time, but there's no commitment of that. We just commit that we're not going to go above your negotiated rates. The advanced report download simply lets you get this usage detail report at a specific date range and selecting a specific set of accounts. It generates a report here that can only be saved or is only saved here for 7 days. So if it's something you want to save, you'd want to download it and save it. And then we have the API access key, where you can generate a key that gives you access to this data. Again, this is all covered in much better detail in a separate video. I'll also just highlight that this API access key is used for the Power BI reporting. So let me refer you to that video for other issues. Finally, let me just go back to the a couple of other things here. We have notifications, so emails, things that we want to get to all enterprise administrators, users, will be highlighted here. Once you've looked at it, at least for that session, it will turn off the marker that indicates it needs to be read. Help files are found here, so there's all of the help topics. And let me highlight that at the bottom of this, if you haven't picked up an enterprise onboarding guide in a while, we keep the latest versions normally here in the help files as well. It's a PDF version, I believe, but gives you access to that data, which can be used to reference in all of the various things that you can do here. Just a little more orientation. You can choose language support here. There's a support link for taking you to either issues related to this portal, which come to our team, or technical and billing issues, which takes you to the user interface for building tickets for subscriptions, and therefore it assumes or presumes that you are a subscription owner. So you can only get to this if you're a subscription owner. And that's about it. That is an overview of the role of the enterprise administrator in a direct enterprise agreement. Thanks for joining, and I do encourage you to make comments on this video, this recording, and the other ones that you find here on our Channel 9 site for Enterprise Azure. Thanks.